Here it says, Ayumi wo susumureba konnon ni arazu. Ayumi wo susumureba konnon ni arazu. Mayoute senga no kouhedazu. Tsushinde sangen no shito ni mousu. Kouin munashiku wataru koto nakatte. Ayumi wo susumureba. Ayumi is foot or step. Susumureba to carry on. Susumureba konnon ni arazu. Kon is near. On is far away. Ayumi wo susumureba. Ayumi is actually a practice, you know. Ayumi wo susumureba konnon ni arazu. There is no idea of far away from the goal or nearer to the goal. This is very important. When you involved in selfish practice, there is, you have some idea of attainment. And you strive for to attain enlightenment or to reach the goal, you have naturally we are far away, an idea of we are far away from the goal or we are almost there. So konnon, near or far away. But if you really practice our way, enlightenment is there. Maybe this is rather difficult to accept. No. When you practice Zazen, without any idea of attainment, there is actually enlightenment. Or you may understand in this way, like Dogen Zenji explained. In our selfish practice, there is enlightenment and there is practice. Practice and enlightenment is a pair of opposite idea. But when we realize, when we understand our practice and enlightenment as an event in the realm of great Dhamma world, enlightenment and practice is two events which appears in a great Dhamma world. The both practice and enlightenment it's also events which we have with many events in our life. Or in our Dhamma world. When we understand in that way, enlightenment is one of the event which symbolizes the Dhamma world, and practice is also an event which symbolizes our big Dhamma world. So there is, if both symbolize or express or suggest the big Dhamma world, you know, actually, there's no need for us to be discouraged because we do not attain enlightenment, or why we should be extremely happy with our enlightenment. Actually, there is no difference. Both have equal value. So enlightenment, if enlightenment is important, practice is also important. We cannot evaluate which is good or bad. When we understand in this way, in each step we have enlightenment. Even though we have enlightenment, you know, there will not be no need to be excited with it. And step by step, we will continue endless practice, appreciating the Dhamma world, a bliss of Dhamma world. That is so called it, practice based on enlightenment. A practice beyond our experience of good and bad. A practice which is beyond our selfish practice. So last night, he said, whatever you see, if you know, that is, whatever you see, that is Tao. Unless you don't understand in that way, you will not even though you practice our practice, you will, the practice will not work. And tonight, you know, in this line, he says, if you practice our way, in its true sense. There is no problem of we are almost there, we are, or we are far away from the point. It is the same. Beginner's practice and great Zen master's practice is not different. But if you involved in selfish practice, then that is delusion. Mayote senga no kohedatsu. If you practice deluded practice, if you practice our way, you know, in a dualistic sense, practice and the enlightenment, then there is barrier or difficulties of mountain and river, crossing river or mountain. Senga no ko. This is mountain. This is river. This is the difficulties. You will be, you know, you will have, you will be separated from the Tao by the difficulties of crossing mountain and river. Mayote senga no kohedatsu. The next line is Tsushin de Sangen no Shito ni Mousu. Tsushin de is most respectfully or reverently. I tell all the seekers of the way. Sangen no shito means seekers of the truth. San is like sanzen, like sampai. Sanzen means, you know, to visit Zen masters. San. Gen is profound teaching. Shito means man. So, to visit profound teaching, or to study profound teaching. Those who study a profound teaching. I say this much to the people who want to visit the real teacher. Gen is, you know, profound teaching. Koin munashiku wataru koto nakare. Koin means sunbeam or day and night. Ko is being, sunbeam, and in means shadow. And ko in, this is one word, ko in means day and night, time. Munashiku don't what are we to spend or to cross to pass. Not nagare is not. Munashiku is in vain. Wataru is to pass. Don't pass day and night without doing anything. Or in vain, in vain. to pass day and night in vain does not mean only to, you know, go for without doing anything. That is maybe one way of passing the day and night without doing anything. But it does not mean, you know, such a... what he means is more profound. Even though you work very hard, sometimes you may be, you know, passing your day and variable time without doing anything. We say so. If you don't know what you are doing, oh, he is passing his time in vain. He may say, no, I'm striving very hard to make my saving account. $10,000. But to us, you know, it is just spending his time in vain. It doesn't make much sense. Even though you work hard in Tassajara, you know, in work period, it does not mean you are, you know, it does not always mean you are spending your time properly, doing something properly. What does it mean then? If you goof off, you are also, you know, wasting your time. Even though you work hard, maybe you are, you know, spending your time in vain. This is maybe a kind of call for you. Do you know what does it mean? Every day is good day. Every day is good day. This is famous, you know, koan. Every day is good day. It does not mean, you know, don't make complaint, even though you have some difficulties. Even though it is hard, you shouldn't complain. Even though it is cold, you shouldn't complain. Whatever happened, you shouldn't complain. it does not mean, you know, something like that. Every day is good day. But it means don't, you know, spend your time with in vain. I think most people are spending their time in vain. If he say, no, I'm always busy. But if he say so, it is sure sign of his spending time in vain. Most people do things, you know, as he know what he is doing with some purpose. But even so, I don't think they are doing things with proper understanding of their activity. I think still he may be doing things in vain. When you do something with usual purpose, which is based on some evaluation, or useful, or useless, or good, or bad, valuable, or less valuable. That is, you know, not perfect understanding. You know, if you do things, whether it is good or bad, you know, or successful or unsuccessful, out of question, because you feel you should do, then that is real practice. Not because of Buddha or because of yourself or because of the truth. because of for yourself or for others. If you do things for the things, that is true way. I cannot explain so well. Maybe I shouldn't explain so much. You shouldn't do things just because you feel good. Or you shouldn't stop doing things just you don't feel so good. Whether you feel good or bad, there's something which you should do. Unless, if you don't have this kind of feeling, if you don't understand this kind of feeling of doing things, you know, whether it is right or wrong, or good or bad. If you don't understand this kind of thing, you are not yet started our way in its true sense. I don't know why, you know, I am in Tassahara, not for you or for myself or not even for Buddha or for Buddhism. I'm just here. I cannot, you know, I don't feel so good if even when I think I have to leave the Sahara in 2-3 weeks. I don't feel so good. I don't know why. I don't think that is just, you know, because you are my student. I don't think so. I do not have any particular person whom I love so much. I don't know why I have to be there. I have not much attachment to Tassahara. It is not because of I attach to Tassahara. Anyway, I'm not sick, I'm not, you know, expecting anything in future or in term of monastery or Buddhism. But I want to, you know, I don't want to, you know, deep. I don't want to live in the air. I want to be right here. I want to stand on my feet. You know? The only way to stand on my feet is when I am Tassahara, I should be at Tassahara. That is the reason why, you know, I am here. I want to be here. That is the most important thing for me, to stand on my feet and to sit on my black cushion. I don't trust anything but my feet or my black cushion. This is my friend, always. My feet is always my friend. When I'm in bed, my bed is my friend. There's no Buddha, or no Buddhism, or no Zazen. If you ask me what is Zazen, you know, I may my or no Buddhism or no Zazen. If you ask me what is Zazen, you know, my answer will be to sit on black cushion with Zazen, or to walk with my feet is my Zazen. To stay at this moment, on this place, is my Zazen. There is no other Zazen. When we really stand, when I am really standing on my feet, I am not lost. So for me, that is, you know, Nibbana for me. So there's no need to travel, to cross, you know, mountain or river for me. I'm right here. On the Dhamma world. So I have no difficulty to cross mountain and river. That is how, you know, we do not waste our time. Moment after moment, we should live on this moment. Right here. Without sacrificing this moment for its future. But at Sekto's time, there were, naturally, you know, especially Zen Buddhism is very voluminous, you know. The background of the teaching is always some discussion or a kind of fight. Especially in Chinese Buddhism, you can see this kind of context in their teaching. And talking about various way of practice and various way of understanding of Zen, they were lost in dispute. There are many schools of Zen, but because they were involved in some kind of right teaching or wrong teaching, or traditional teaching, or some heretical teaching, heresy, they lost their main point of practice. So that is why he says, don't spend your time in vain, sacrificing their actual practice for some idealistic, you know, practice to attain some perfection of what kind of understanding is traditional understanding taught by the sixth patriarch. Compiling, you know, sutra of sixth patriarch in their own way. And this is the sixth patriarch's way. Those who do not have this book is not, you know, the descendant of the sixth patriarch. This kind of, you know, understanding of Zen prevail at that time. That is why he said, don't, you know, I reverently say to the seekers of the profound way, don't spend your time in vain. What it means is very profound. Without being, you know, caught by some idea, you know, some selfish understanding or practice or teaching, to follow right practice is our way. This kind of practice is called polishing tile practice. Tile. To polish tile practice. Usually people may polish a mirror, you know, because it could, if you polish it, you know, it will be a clear, good mirror. You know. To have clear, why you polish it is to have clear surface of the mirror. But if you, if someone start to polish a tile, no. For the people who understand why we polish a tile, mirror is to have a mirror-like, complete, you know, shiny surface of it. So if someone start to polish a tile, you may laugh at him. So to polish tile is to make good tile is to polish tile. And to polish a mirror is to have actual mirror, is why we polish a mirror. Oh, this is just a tile. It cannot be a mirror. You know, that is the practice who easily give up their practice because he thinks, you know, no, anyway, I cannot be a good Zen student. Better to give up. Without pushing. Without sitting Zen. Without realizing. Tile is, you know, variable. Sometimes much more variable than a mirror, because a mirror is too expensive for the roofing. No one can, you know, afford to make a roof by mirror. Tile is very good to make our roof. So tile is also important, as mirror is important to see, to look yourself into it. That is a tile polishing practice. Masen, we say. As you know, there is a famous story between Baso, the grandson of the sixth patriarch, and Nangaku, a disciple of the sixth patriarch. Baso, you know, was practicing that. Nangaku, the teacher, who passed, you know, by, asked him, "What are you doing?" "I'm practicing Zazen to be a Buddha." "Ah, that's very nice of you." "Trying to be a Buddha." And he picked up a tire. The teacher picked up a tire and started to polish it. So, Baso asked him, you know, with some curiosity, What are you doing? He said, I want to make this tire a mirror. And the disciple Basso asked him whether it is possible to, you know, make tire a mirror. He said, well, you said, you know, you are practicing Zazen to be a Buddha. But Buddha is not always someone who attained enlightenment. Everyone is Buddha. Whether they attain enlightenment or not, they are Buddha. You said to be a Buddha, but to be a Buddha sometimes means to practice answer was, I want to be a Buddha by practicing, by sitting practice. And so he said, teacher said, you said squatting position, practice in squatting position, in sitting position. But Zen is not, you know, always to sit in a sitting position is not Zen, always. Whatever you do, that will be Zazen. So he was lost, you know, Basso was lost. Then what will be the appropriate practice? And so he explained, he asked, without explaining to him, he asked, if a car does not go, no, which will be the appropriate way to hit a car or to hit a horse? Which will be the appropriate? But he couldn't answer. Because the disciple Basso was still involved in practice to attain something. And he explained, so he continued the explanation of the practice. In short, I cannot translate it literally, but what he said was, if you think whipping a cat or a horse, you can, you know, drive a cat is wrong. because cat and horse actually is not separated, is one. To whip a horse means to whip a cat, you know. And if you whip on cat, naturally horse will go because they are one. So to practice and enlightenment is one, like a cat and horse is one. So if you know, practice actually, physical practice as a practice, that is also enlightenment. And that you practice Buddha's practice, of course, that is enlightenment, but actually that is practice too. We call practice based on enlightenment as real practice, which has no end. We call enlightenment which started with practice, which is one with practice, it's beginningless enlightenment. Because, you know, if someone starts practice, there is enlightenment. Where there is practice, there is enlightenment. Where there is enlightenment, there is also practice. There is no practice, enlightenment, without practice. If you don't stay on this spot, realizing your position, then you are not practicing our way. So if you are wasting your time, or if you are trying to sacrifice your present practice for future attainment, that is not a real practice. Sekito actually was the direct disciple of the sixth patriarch. He knew the sixth patriarch's way, practice, very well. So when Kataku Jinye and his disciples started to denounce the northern school of Jinshu, he felt very bad about him, about them, attaching to some, you know, idea and denouncing, superficially, without realizing what is real practice. The Hokushu Zen, Jinshu's practice. this understanding is extended, succeeded by Dogen in Japan, and Dogen extended his idea more widely, and not just logically, but more emotional way, more with more feeling and more poetic way through his tenacious, thinking mind. So, some people may say Sandokai is not so good, because it is so philosophical. It may be so. If you don't understand the background of his teaching, and if your mind does not penetrate through his words, we say to read back of the paper, not printed characters, but the other side of the book. You may feel in that way. But this is actually very important work, Sandokai. Do you have some questions? Because your practice is, always confined in a realm of, why we practice that. What does it mean by your practice? Anyway, naturally, you are practicing very good. Why do you practice your practice so good? I don't understand. Yeah. Anyway, you are doing well. because I give lectures, and my lecture will be some enticement. Maybe better not to hear my lecture. Just practice that.
I don't mind dogma so much, but I kind of make promises that I don't understand.
Make promise. Our promise, if sentient beings are numerous, desires are numbers. Sentient beings are numerous. No, it is. You cannot say, I bow to Satsang, or I bow to put an end to them. It is silly, yeah, it is very silly. It doesn't make any sense. That is true. I agree with you. Doesn't make any sense. But still, you do it. Why? You don't feel so good if you don't work for others. Our practice is not just to, we say, you know, we make four vows, just, you know, in that way. But what we really mean is more than that. But tentatively, or for sake of convenience, we, you know, say in that way, just for. But I feel in this way, nearly, truly, you know. It is lucky that we have, you know, inexhaustible desires and numerous sentient beings to save. And each of them is almost impossible to save them in terms of, you know, I save you. You cannot save in that way. But whether it is possible or not to continue this kind of practice is about, anyway, whether it is possible or not, out of question. Whether this is Buddhist way or Bodhisattva's way, or Hinayana way or Mahayana way, is out of question. Anyhow, do it. That is our vow.
But I don't seem cheating. I mean, when I promise to do something, it seems like I should, you know, mean, have some meaning. If it doesn't have any meaning, I won't say it. It doesn't have any meaning to me, I can't say it.
Your arrogance. That is your arrogance.
Maybe,
even though you cry, that cry doesn't make any sense. Your practice is still based on some selfish practice. You don't give up yourself. You have to suffer more and fight more with yourself. With yourself. No one to fight with. Nothing to fight with. Fight with your selfish practice until you give up. That is most important point for real students. You shouldn't fool yourself. He doesn't want to place a point for their students. You shouldn't fool yourself. He doesn't want to be fooled by our teaching or Zen or something like that. That is right. You shouldn't fool by anything.
Well, what do I do at the end of the lecture? I can't. You know, everybody will say the four vows, and I won't believe them.
you don't have to believe in literally, you know, because various teachers and numerous people, you know, repeated in that way. That is why you should do. That's all. If, you know, they are cheating themselves, you know, you should be cheated. You should be fooled by it, with all sentient beings. That you cannot do that means you want to be some special person. That is good, you know. That much spirit we should have. But the answer is, you know, that is not the way. The, you know, answer is very cold. Cannot be sympathetic with your, you know, practice. Some great teacher will give you some candy. Go and get candy. You don't understand how much truth you can understand by your small mind. And you should know the limit of your thinking mind. What you see, you know, actually, you see various colors. But how many colors do you see by your eyes? How much sound you can hear? You only think, you know, your thinking mind works dualistic only. You have no words to explain this kind of reality. You know, if you understand our teaching through those characters, it is almost impossible. This is just suggestion. See? So, because you stick to my words or by scripture, or you think scripture should be something perfect, more convincing, you think in that way. But first of all, you know, we have to confess what I'm talking is not right. What I'm saying is not always true. I'm suggesting something more than that, that's all. So, to, you know, that is even not only Buddhism, but in Confucius says, you know, if it is, you know, if someone want to fool you, you know, you should be fooled by him. That is very important.
Because I do. mean, it may be ignorance or something, but it seems like it's there to me. And in order to be kind of what I feel is straight or clear, if I said to you, I don't see that lamp, Roshi, then something funny happens inside me. And sometimes that same funny thing happens when I say devour. Because I think, well, okay, I've got to save all sentient beings. But then something is going on inside me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There aren't any sentient
beings. Yeah, I understand that. You know, we priests always put our hand together. When you eat, how many times you put your hand together, you know? How many times you put your hand together in the Sahara, you know? I didn't like it at all, you know. I felt as if I'm fooling myself. I'm, you know, I didn't feel so good. But as I have to, you know, I did it, that's all. But now I understand, you know, because I understand how foolish I am. I have not much strong spirit as I had before. So I understand, but still, you know, truth is truth. I cannot agree with you now. Maybe if I were to be your age, I can agree with you. I could have agreed with you quite easily, and you would be. You would have been a great friend of mine, but now I'm your friend. Hey.
Roshi, do you think that we have any choice? For instance, I am here at Tassajara.
Mm-hmm.
Am I here at Tassajara by my choice? Or am I simply here at some
point? That's the answer for that is, you know, your Buddha nature brought you here at the Sahara. That is my answer. Your choice is not. I think that was not, your choice, you know, completely. Maybe your choice, you know, 20% or 30% your choice. But most of the reason why you are here is something more than that. That we hear, Buddha's teaching is, you know, because of our previous study. And wisdom seek for wisdom. We are listening to the teaching which we had listened or have had studied under many teachers in my past life. Dogen said so. Wisdom seek for wisdom. But, you know, even though you feel, you know, I am feeling this way right now, 100%. You may say so, but actually that voice is now covers all of your being or character. But actually it is a little tiny part of you saying so, and you feel as if your whole body is saying so. That's all. That is, you know, so called it. Maybe I shouldn't explain. So much in traditional way.
Well, then, if I were, say, to become Buddha, would I have anything to do about it? Or would I have anything to do with it? Would I have anything to do with it?
First of all, you know, try to forget yourself and rely on your true voice, non-verbal voice. Voiceless voice. And you listen to tongueless speech, we say. Don't listen to my words. Think about this point. Hey.
Will I hear you stick on my shoulder tomorrow? In the morning. In the early morning, will I hear you stick on my shoulder?
Stick.
Okay.
All right.
Dorothy, is the voice, whose voice is it that we listen to?
Your voice and Buddha's voice. That is, you know, what Sandoka is talking about. You think sometimes your voice, but that voice is Buddha's voice. But you think in that way, you know, from one-sided feeling. You think you are here. You think you are, you know, the way, but actually it is not so. No, not at all. If I think I am Suzuki, you know, if someone calls me Suzuki, I feel very funny. Oh, is this Suzuki? Oh no, first reaction is no, I am not Suzuki. Hey.
Maybe good gassho. Gassho, and someone may look at me and say, oh, this is good gassho. But there may be a cold heart behind this gassho.
Yeah, cold heart or warm heart, out of question.
Is it still good gassho?
Perfect.